House, please come to order. Ethan, you can stay in here. It's all right. You don't have to leave.
Tradition?
No, he failed that one time. He... All right. Members, indicate your presence by voting. Madam Clerk.
24 members, 26 members present.
President Roachberg, you want to vote, please? Representative Kelly, you want to vote? All right, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move to ask unanimous consent that Representative Anderson, Croft, Elkins, Jewell, Kapsner, McGuire, Moses, and Newman be excused from the call of the House today.
All right. Without objection, those members will be shown as excused on the date and time indicated by the Majority Leader. Today, we're going to have the invocation by Ms. Stephanie Hall. Is she here? Well, there she is, right over there. Oh, she moved on me. Okay. Members, please rise for the invocation.
With deepest respect for the religious beliefs of all, I offer this prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day to serve you. Bless and guide these representatives as they seek to do the best for Alaska and all her people. Amen.
Amen. Representative Stoltz, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative
Dahlstrom. Mr. Speaker, I'd ask that beautiful prayer be spread across the journal.
Hearing no objection, then, that wonderful prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, could you certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the second legislative day of the fourth special session.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent of the journal of the previous day stated by the Chief Clerk be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Hearing no objections, then, the journal as certified and presented by the Chief Clerk, or as presented by the Chief Clerk, will be certified. Are there any guests for introduction this afternoon? Mr. Minority Leader, you want to introduce anybody back there? Nobody? Okay. Are there any messages? So from the Governor. Madam Clerk.
Executive proclamation by Frank H. Murkowski, Governor, under the authority of Article 2, Section 9, and Article 3, Section 17 of the Alaska Constitution, and in the public interest, I am supplementing my proclamation of October 27, 2006, calling the 24th Legislature of the State of Alaska into its fourth special session at Juneau, Alaska, November 13, 2006, with the addition of the following subject relating to employment-related benefits for same-sex domestic partners of public employees and of members of the state's retirement systems, and to an advisory vote relating to those benefits for same-sex domestic partners. This proclamation supplements my proclamation of October 27, dated at Juneau, Alaska, the 16th day of November 2006. Received a letter dated November 16th from the governor stating that pursuant to Article 2, Section 18 of the Alaska Constitution and the authority of the Stranded Gas Development Act, the governor submits the vehicle containing the economic and other analysis and documents necessary to finalize the Alaska Gas Pipeline contract. The letter and report was distributed to each member. The letter will be published in the journal. There are no further messages from the governor.
Are there any messages from the other body?
There are no messages from the other body today.
Are there any communications?
And there are no communications.
Are there any standing committee reports?
The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 4001, prohibit same-sex employment benefit regulations, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 4001, Finance, with a new title, attaches an indeterminate and a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Hawker, Kelly, Foster, Meyer, and Chenault. Do not pass Petula. No recommendation, Stoltz and Holmes. home. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. House Bill 4001 is on today's calendar. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 4002, advisory vote, same-sex partner employment benefits, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 4002 Finance with a new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Hawker, Kelly, Holm, Foster, Stoltz, and Meyer. Do not pass Curtula. No recommendation, Chenault. The report was signed by Representatives Chenault and Meyer, co-chairs. House Bill 4002 is on today's calendar. I have no further reports of standing committees.
Are there any reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports today.
Okay, do you have any resolutions or citations to introduce?
There are no citations or resolutions for introduction.
Are there any bills for introduction?
House Bill 4003 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to Employment-Related Insurance Benefits for the Same-Sex Partner of a State Employee Relating to Survivor and Medical Benefits for the Same-Sex Partner of a Member of the State's Teachers, Public Employees, Judicial or Elected Public Officers, Retirement Systems, and Providing for an Effective Date, a letter and a fiscal note were attached. I have no further bills for introduction.
The bill referred to the Finance Committee. Okay, that brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on today's agenda?
House Bill 4001 by the House Rules Committee entitled An Act Prohibiting the Commissioner of Administration from drafting, adopting, filing, or publishing regulations granting or extending employment-related benefits for same-sex partners of unmarried state employees and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 4001, Finance, with a new title, attached an indeterminate and a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Hawker and Kelly, Foster, Meyer, and Chenault. Do not pass Curtula. No recommendation, Stoltz and Holm. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move to ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 4001 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, we do have the finance version before us. Do we have amendments?
I have no amendments.
At ease. Back to order. Okay, are there any amendments to 4001?
I have no amendments.
All right, Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 401 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's an objection. This bill will be heard in third reading tomorrow's calendar. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
House Bill 4002 by the House Rules Committee entitled An Act Authorizing an Advisory Vote on Employment Benefits for Same-Sex Partners of Public Employees and Providing for an Effective Date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 4002 Finance with a new title, attached a fiscal note, recommending do pass Hawker, Kelly, Holm, Foster, Stoltz, Meyer. Do not pass Curtula. No recommendation, Chenault. The report was signed by Representatives Chenault and Meyer, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move to ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 401 Finance be considered considered in lieu of the original bill. That is 402. Did I say 401?
Mm-hmm. 402.
Only have two shots at it, and I make a mistake.
Hear no objection. We have the finance version before us. Are there amendments?
Amendment number one by Representatives Crawford, Garrick, Curtula, Berkowitz, Sisna, Gardner, Salmon, Gruenberg, and Guttenberg, beginning on page one, line two.
Representative Crawford? At ease. Order, this amendment number one has been withdrawn at this point. Madam Clerk, are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I feel a little impotent here, but I will ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 4002 Finance be considered a gross advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
There's an objection to this. This bill heard in third reading on tomorrow's calendar as well. Madam Clerk, do you have any other items on today's agenda?
Senate Concurrent Resolution 401 relating to legislative powers over same-sex partner employment benefits and urging the courts to delay action until the legislature has sufficient time to act in the next regular session of the legislature. Have an amendment number one by Representatives Guerra, Crawford, and Berkowitz.
Representative Guerra.
To line 20.
Move amendment number one, Mr. Speaker.
There is an objection, Representative Guerra.
Point's been made already, Mr. Speaker. This is a non-binding resolution. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything more than a letter that those of us who support the resolution could have signed and sent to the court with a 39-cent stamp. And this is one of the reasons that we're still sitting here at substantial cost to the public. And it doesn't get us anywhere. It's non-binding. And I frankly think we should all go home. Thank you.
Any other discussion on amendment number one?
Speaking to the amendment in front of us, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir.
Not the one that's not yet in front of us. Some people are not going to miss me, Mr. Speaker. You know, what this amendment does is do what we should have been doing in this body for a long time. And, you know, we've been here a long time for record periods, and we've talked about all kinds of benefits for health care. We've talked about taking away workers' comp rights. We've talked about what we're going to do with Senate Bill 141. And what we haven't had yet and what we need to have and what I encourage to happen sometime in the future is a discussion about health care, the actual providing of health care in this state. Because there's 120,000 Alaskans who don't have health insurance. 20,000 of them are children. And we can do something about that here. There's no reason for the greatest state in the greatest country, the world, to have so many people go without health care. We can do things to start to take on the issues of providing access to quality health care because we have opportunities that other states don't have. And what this whereas suggests is that we need to start expanding health care coverage. And that's what it's about. And we would like to encourage all members of the body to vote for expanding health care for all Alaskans.
Another debate on amendment number one. You ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number one pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
9 yeas, 23 nays.
And so with a vote of 9 yeas and 23 nays, amendment number one has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk, are there any other amendments?
Amendment number two by Representatives Guerra, Curtula, and Guttenberg to page 2, line 20.
Representative Guerra.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number two.
Since you've already talked. Oh, there is an objection. Since you already talked to it, you want to just sit down now, or you want
to? No, I never want to sit down.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker, I think it might have been subtle, but I think I've telegraphed my views about this one to the body. So just assuming you're going to be able to pick up on the cues, just vote yes. Thank you.
All right. Any other debate on amendment number two? Representative Groenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. the resolution itself is unnecessary for yet another reason that relates to amendment number two. Amendment number two talks about people being able to send a letter to the court expressing these views. But as you know, Mr. Speaker, being a member of Ledge Council, the Legislative Council has already gone farther than this entire resolution by authorizing, directing counsel to join that lawsuit for the limited purpose of seeking a stay or a delay in the effective date of its order. And so the Ledge Council, which acts on behalf of the legislature when the legislature is not in session, has already done what this resolution will do. And even more than writing the letter, the legislature is already on record as wanting to join the lawsuit for that purpose. And the whole thing is unnecessary.
Other debate on amendment number two? Ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number two pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
9 yeas, 23 nays.
So the vote of 9 yeas and 23 nays. Amendment number 2 has failed to pass the House. Mr. Minority Leader.
I'd like to make an inquiry of the carrier of the resolution. I do a possible amendment.
Brief of these, then.
Eddie. Speaker. House, come back to order. You do? Okay, Madam Clerk, are there any other amendments?
An amendment number 3 by Representative Grunberg to page 2, lines 21 through 26, delete all material.
Is there anything left of it? Oh, okay. Representative Grunberg?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment's being duplicated. It's very simple.
Want to move it?
I move it.
Any objection? There's an objection. Representative Grunberg.
It deletes lines 21 through 26 on page 2. This is at the heart of my objection to this resolution. When each of us in this body took our constitutional oath, it was to uphold the Constitution. And one of the founding principles of the Constitution, since Marbury versus Madison, is that the Supreme Court is the supreme adjudicator of the Constitution and the laws and regulations adopted under them. And they have the constitutional duty, and so do we, to ensure that legislation and regulations do not violate the Constitution. These provisions would deny the Supreme Court that fundamental right, which is at the principle of the separation of powers and protects each of us, not only in this area, but in all other areas. And when we say that we disagree with the assumption that regulations may be drafted and mandated by the court, that would deny the court the right to ensure that we comply with the Constitution of this state. And we may have different opinions on the subject matter of these particular regulations, but we should not disagree with the Supreme Court's power to interpret them. That's at the fundamental heart of the balance of power in this state, every other state, and the United States of America. And that's why I've moved to strike these provisions.
Other debate? Representative Coghill.
And Mr. Speaker.
Majority. Mr. Majority.
I'll object to striking it. First of all, at the heart of the issue, if this was a constitutional amendment, I would agree with the maker of the amendment. But this is expressing a point of view from the legislature on the mandate of drafting regulations and creating a policy call that's mandated upon us. It is true that the courts from time to time have exerted their will and many times have been challenged by the people of Alaska. So I guess probably the two arguments that I would make are, the first off, the decision that the court has made probably is not in dispute. It's the manner in which the regulation or the policy is being implemented that is probably in question. I think at the end of the day, it's up to the people of Alaska under Article 1 to decide where that decision finally ends. And then the other thing that I would say is, upon reading the Supreme Court's ruling, where they disagreed with both the people and the legislature, not on constitutional grounds, but as a matter of policy. And I'm sorry I don't have their opinion with me right now, because they disagreed, but they said notwithstanding. And so I think it's good for the various different bodies to have disagreements with one another. We are co-equal branches of government. And in Article 2, in the Constitution, we're talking about all legislative power belongs to the legislature. So certainly the court has overstepped its bounds from time to time. No doubt the legislature has as well. This is expressing a disagreement, and I think we need to express it, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate? Representative Cartula.
Well, I'm not certain if the previous speaker really meant the Supreme Court opinion or the Superior Court's order, but just speaking a little bit to the Superior Court's order, the court allowed the state to take another action. It wasn't strictly regulating. It gave a pretty clear indication of what it would accept and then said it would allow other things. So, you know, the Supreme Court, while it may be co-equal, is certainly the interpreter of our Constitution, and that's what this is all about. I think that removing this language goes a long way toward clarifying that we're not trying to take over the Supreme Court's authority. Thank you.
President Gruenberg, and wrap up.
Two things. First of all, I happen to have the Supreme Court opinion here. And if the person who, if the majority leader who opposed my amendment would like to refer to that specifically, I think that he would find that it does exactly what I've said. It sticks very closely to the Equal Protection Clause in Article 1, Section 1 of the State Constitution, doesn't stray from it, and uses that as the framework and the basis for its holding. That's the first point I'd like to make. The second point I'd like to make, I'd like to refer the body, Mr. Speaker, to the text that I'm seeking to delete in the bill. Page 2, lines 21 through 22. Quote, "Be it resolved that the Alaska State Legislature disagrees with the assumption that regulations may be drafted and mandated by the courts." That is not limited to this bill. That's far broader than this subject matter. That would deny by the very language of the resolution the whole principle of judicial review. Disagrees with the assumption that regulations may be drafted and mandated by the court. That could be on any subject, fish and game, free speech, the right to bear arms, anything. It's not just on this. It's far broader than it needs to be. And it really undercuts the whole protection of the judicial system that we are all sworn to uphold. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Manrelier. And wrap up, second.
No, it's not wrap up. I just wanted to point out the origins of the Constitution. I took a look at the Federalist Papers, number 78, today. The Federalist Papers were written by some of the framers of the Constitution. And number 78 talks about the judiciary. And there's a couple of quotes I'd like to read for the body.
Without objection.
First, Alexander Hamilton, who wrote this, stated that the judiciary is beyond comparison the weakest of the three departments of power. From the natural feebleness of the judiciary, it is in continual jeopardy of being overpowered, awed, or influenced by its coordinate branches. It goes on to say, however, no legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be valid. The interpretation of the laws is the proper and peculiar province of the courts. The Constitution is, in fact, and must be regarded by the judges as a fundamental law. It therefore belongs to them to ascertain its meaning, as well as the meaning of any particular act proceeding from the legislative body. Concluding comment from it is that if the courts of justice are to be considered as the bulwarks of a limited constitution against legislative encroachment. You know, we've all preached the virtues of civics and talked about the separation of powers. This is a separation of the power issue. This is a question of what happens when the legislative branch and the executive branch and the judicial branch come into some kind of conflict. And we did take an oath to uphold the Constitution, even the parts of it we might not agree with, even the parts that limit the authority of this body. And part of respecting the Constitution, part of respecting the lessons that we teach our children about separation of power and checks and balances, has to do with understanding where legislative power ends and judicial oversight begins. And removal of the sections in this resolution, and it's only a resolution, only a resolution. There was nothing quite as contentious as a resolution in my experience in the legislature, but has to do with recognizing and respecting the separation of powers and doing what the legislature is supposed to do, which is not encroach on the judiciary's power, not encroach on the executive power, but make sure that they're limited and checked and that we assert ourselves properly and appropriately. And this resolution goes farther than it properly ought to.
Other debate. You ready for the question on amendment number 3?
Mr. Speaker, I ask leave to speak one more time, and I understand it's another person's amendment, but since I have been tasked to carry this, I figure at least an explanation is due to those two who spoke before me. I agree with the Federalist Papers. The unfortunate thing is that during the time of history in which we live, the judges, quite frankly, have taken a very activist role and have become probably one of the more powerful branches of government instead of the weakest. I suppose that's a debate we can have for a good long while. I think books and days and years could be had about that. But let me just go back to the amendment on line 22 where it says regulations. Remember, regulations emanate out of statutory authority, not judicial fiat. And so I would just appeal to the members once again that the assumption that regulations may be drafted or mandated is probably the question at hand here. And I understand there's going to be a difference of opinion, but truly regulations should be emanating from statutory authority.
Okay, you ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 3 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
9 yeas, 22 nays.
So the vote of 9 yeas and 22 nays, Amendment Number 3 has failed to pass the House. Clerk, are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
You ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 401 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
22 yeas, 9 nays.
So the vote of 22 yeas and 9 nays, Senate Concurrent Resolution 401 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other items on today's agenda?
There's no further business on today's calendar.
Citations?
There are no citations.
The unfinished business? Committee announcements? Other announcements? Special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move to ask unanimous consent the House stand adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, November 17th.
No objection, we're adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.